Thank you so much. You may be seated. What an honor it is for us to be here today. Thank you so much. You may be seated. And somebody found my Harris sign. Did y'all steal that sign from me? Yeah. That's pathetic. That's really pathetic. That sign is so pathetic. Luke chapter 23 in your Bibles this morning. So good to be here. It's an honor and a privilege to preach God's word and to be in this place. And I want to thank you for what you are doing to be what God has created you to be. And want to thank you for allowing God to work in your heart and your life in these days. And to make the most of it while you're here. And just so glad we were able to come and to thank the Lord for his goodness. Luke chapter 23 in your Bibles this morning. We'll begin in verse 32. Luke chapter number 23, verse number 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, as we see one of the seven sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ here, so we understand that this is very important words. These are very important words that Jesus Christ gives. These are dying words, and the dying words of a man are very important, very weighty words. And we see here these weighty words were spoken from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ as the sacrificial blood splashed on the ground beneath him. And most of the time on the cross, it was spent in silence. The Lord Jesus opened not his mouth, and yet these seven sentences are recorded here. And no doubt at this moment when he says, Father, forgive them, his body is wrecked with pain and no doubt experienced severe muscle pain in the upper extremities, and it only got worse as his joints separated, and he could draw air into his lungs but could not easily exhale. Carbon dioxide accumulated, causing severe muscle spasms and just progressive degrees of asphyxiation occurred. And as he's there, and his feet are nailed to that cross, and he pushes up, and he gets one final breath. And of all the things in the world he could say, of all the things he can mention while he's taking his last dying breath, these are very important words, some of the seven sayings, and this is one of them. Father, forgive them. As his body reeked in pain, and as he lifted his body to breathe and to give his lungs the capacity to breathe one more time, and as he pushed up on the cross, and as his open back from the cat of nine tails, you know very well, as that scraped across his back, and now the blood had dried upon his back, and he's pushing up one more time to say something spectacular and something moving to those around. And really, the audience cared very little about anything he had to say. But yet he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And while his body reverberating with pain and his throat parched with thirst and no energy to waste on trivial matters, each word on the cross serves as a window to see the soul of Christ. He says, Father, forgive them. Roman historians tell us that many times these criminals on the cross would curse and rail on those around. Many times in our victim society, just railing on those that put them there, but not Jesus. In 1 Peter 2:23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And Jesus could have prayed and been right. He could have said, Father, consume them.
He could have said, Father, destroy them. Father, there would be Old Testament precedent for that. And what happened at Golgotha was unforgivable. They had crucified the Son of God. And what could be worse than that? But as you hear the words, Father, forgive them, you hear the words of grace. You hear the words of mercy. As Jesus grasped for one more breath of air and grace and mercy protruded out of the mouth of the Son of God, he said, Father, forgive them. He could have very well denounced everyone that put their hands on him. He could have snuffed their very breath out of him at that moment. But instead he said, Father, forgive them. You say, Pastor, I understand you're here, and do you know who we are? We're Bible college students, and we don't have much to forgive. It's a message on forgiveness. You know, like a junior higher going to camp, I beg to differ with you. Hey, those guys leave for camp. They pack a suitcase. And many of them, when they come home, guess what? It's the exact same as when they left. And then there are others who bring all they had in a nice suitcase when they come back to mama. And some of you may be doing that on the holidays here, right? And they have a big garbage bag full of stuff. Some of it's Johnny's stuff. Some of it's Junior's stuff. Some of it's their stuff. They just got the stuff. And I want to say to you this morning, though you're in a place that is preaching God's Word and you're in an environment that's conducive to the Word of God, in your life, you will have to decide upon the things that you have received and things that have happened to you, what you're going to do with them. And just like that junior hire brings the bag of clothes home and lays it out there to be washed, you will accumulate things in your life. Some of you may have already accumulated what we would call baggage, some things, some hurts, some disappointments through life. You've already, in your brief time here in life, you've already accumulated these things. And I want to say to you, it will destroy you if you do not decide to do what Jesus said in Luke 23. Father, forgive them. What does it mean even to forgive? It means to release the person, the offender, release resentment towards that person. In the New Testament, the word meant to send away, to forgive, to release from the penalty when somebody wrongs you. And you know, it is a Father-focused. Notice in verse 34, if you will, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. It has to be Father-focused. The only way that someone can stand, and I've always admired those that stand in a courtroom and would forgive somebody who killed a man, who would forgive the person that killed his daughter and murdered his daughter and say, I forgive you. Always admired that place. And while we've been working in Western North Carolina, and please continue to pray for those folks, it is much worse than the media is letting on. And there's quadruple, maybe 10 times as many dead as they're reporting. I've been there. I've seen the refrigerated 52-foot trailers with bodies. It's a disaster. And just there the other week, I found out about a nursing home of residents, full of residents. And imagine this. Every worker in the building walked out. The floods were coming, and they took off. All the workers deserted. Every patient, there's a 92-year-old woman, World War II veteran. And she was sitting there in a chair when they arrived to get them. They left them some 3 to 4 days alone. You imagine? And yet some of you have endured, you've received, you've been the brunt of great harm. Maybe a father, maybe a mother. I grew up in a drunkard's home, so I understand a rough home environment. So you may have received things that you're having to deal with right now, but unforgiveness is torment no matter who you are. Unforgiveness will torment you. It's not that you can torment another person with this, but you're actually tormenting yourself. Forgiveness doesn't make the other person free. It doesn't make them right. It just makes you free. So when you choose to forgive, it doesn't make them right. It doesn't say, hey, they won, they got you. It just means you're free from that weight. So it has to be Father-focused. I want to ask you just a few questions, very simple this morning. Number one, have you been forgiven? These are elementary. Number one, have you been forgiven? If Jesus can forgive those responsible for killing them, He can forgive you. I want to say to you this morning, nobody is beyond the reach of Christ's forgiveness. When He said, Father, forgive them, He was talking about all of them. Boy, I get tired of this Reformed crowd and Calvinistic Reformed crowd and this elect. And I understand God knows all of that, but we don't. And he died for every one of them. And I want to say to you, no matter what's happened in your past, you can be forgiven. Have you been forgiven? For me, it was May the 4th, 1986, as a 14-year-old young man. I saw myself as a sinner, and I bowed my head and trusted Christ. I want to ask you this morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven? And some of you, you've been saved, you've been forgiven, but there are things that have happened in your life since salvation that you are still struggling with, and you've not allowed Christ to cleanse you from those sins. And I would say to you, forgiveness is available. It is offered. No one is beyond the reach of His prayer forgiveness. Nobody falls out of the bonds of this prayer. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Nobody escapes that realm. Nobody escapes those boundaries. I'm thankful this morning that Jesus Christ offers forgiveness to every soul sitting under the sound of my voice this morning. Nobody is exempt from the forgiveness that Jesus offered on Calvary. As they were standing, as they were hitting those spikes into His hands and His feet, and as a spear went into His side, and as a crown of thorns was planted upon His head, He said, Father, forgive them. No one here this morning is beyond the reach of His forgiveness. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what the circumstances are surrounding it. No one is beyond the reach. And be careful as college students when somebody does mess up, that you don't keep them in prison when they seek forgiveness and repentance. Be sure that you're not dangling the keys of the jail cell in front of them. And if you'll hop over here and hop over there and hop here and hop there, I'll forgive you. No, God doesn't put those kind of limitations on it. Because the very people that were there, they were not requesting forgiveness. Some of you here this morning are saying, Pastor, the person that hurt me has never asked me. They don't desire it. They don't want... Jesus, they never asked Him to forgive them. But yet He said, Father, forgive them. Some of you right now have somebody you're thinking of that has hurt you. Or you have a situation that happened to you. May even be directed toward God. But you are holding that person hostage because you won't forgive them. I want to tell you, have you been forgiven? Hey, it's extended to you. No one is good enough to save himself, and no one is bad enough that God can't save them. God will save you. Someone asked this elderly lady one time, does the devil ever trouble you about your past? She answered, yeah. The inquirer said, well, what do you do when he troubles you? She said, I just tell him to go east. Huh. What do you do if he comes back? I tell him to go west. And when he comes back from the west, what do you tell him then? She said, I just keep telling him to go back from the east and west. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103, verse 12. Have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven? I'm in Bible college, of course, Pastor. No, I don't mean, are you doing stuff? I don't mean, are you working 70 hours and doing a bus route and a nursing home ministry? I'm not asking you what you're doing. I'm asking you, have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven? Number two, have you forgiven others? You know, forgiveness is a virtue that we profess to believe, but we fail to practice. It's like this old boy sitting on a park bench, and he was in pain. He was sitting there on a park bench, and he was in such pain. And this old man come by, walking by, and said, "Son, what's wrong?" And the little boy said, I'm sitting on a bumblebee." He said, "Crazy, get up, you know. What are you doing sitting on a bumblebee?" He said, "Why don't you get up?" He said, "Well, I figure I'm hurting him more than he's hurting me." How many of us handle forgiveness that way? We endure pain for the sadistic satisfaction of believing we are hurting our offender more than they're hurting us. It's time someone's got off the bench of unforgiveness so that both parties can realize the freedom from that pain. It's like the big old grizzly bear. Dale Carnegie said he went to Yellowstone. He saw a huge bear feasting on everybody's leftovers and eating the camp food. And that sounds like some of y'all feasting on everybody's leftovers, right? If it's not tied down in the dorm, it's gone, right? Common law property here. I found it. That's a famous word. I found it. Yeah. Just happened to find it in somebody else's room, locked up. Yeah. Accidentally chopped the lock off. Amen. Hallelujah. So the bear's he's eating his meal, and here and just directly a skunk comes waddling up and takes its place right beside him and starts eating beside the bear. Now we all know the bear could make one fell swoop and kill the skunk. So if a reporter was to walk up to that bear and say, "Hey, why don't you just kill the skunk? Why are you letting him eat beside you?" I guarantee he would say this: "It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it." And I want to say to you this morning, some of you are holding grudges against people and they don't even know it. They don't even know. They don't even know you exist in that way. They don't know they've offended. And who does it hurt? It hurts you. You're not going to have a great marriage. You're not going to fulfill God's will for your life if you're holding somebody hostage through unforgiveness. So have you forgiven others? One writer said this: "Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Forgiven people forgive others. If the Father has forgiven you, how can you not forgive others?" Mark 11:26, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." You know, to forgive somebody is to cancel the debt. It's to give them the freedom so that they never have to pay you back for what they've done. It's to give grace to somebody that doesn't deserve it. On the Day of Atonement, they would have two goats, one sacrificed, and one would be sent away into the wilderness, signifying the freedom, forgiveness. Number one, have you been forgiven? Number two, are you forgiving others? Number three, we won't be able to forgive until we understand how much we've been forgiven. How much we've been forgiven. Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." In order to forgive, you must remember our forgiveness. Come back to the cross and hear those words, "Father, forgive them." And just as Jesus forgave the unforgivable, so must we. So must we. Those tortured words sweep away all of our shabby excuses as to why we can't forgive. They reveal the barrenness of our heart. They rip the cover off of our unrighteous anger and show it for what it is. If only the people that hurt me would show some sign of remorse. They didn't with Jesus. That rarely happens, by the way. If you're waiting on somebody to ask you or to show some sign of brokenness, that rarely happens. So all the while, you're left with the baggage. Unforgiveness is a weight. It's a sin. It's a weight that will follow you to your grave. And some of you are thinking, I don't have anything. You're holding animosity and resentment right now towards your parents, towards something, some event that happened in your life, or maybe some event that didn't happen. If only they would ask me, then maybe I would forgive. And we try to excuse our bitterness and our anger and get even with them. Consider Jesus. Nobody was sorry. Even as he spoke, "Father, forgive them," as he raised his ankles and breathed one more breath and said, "Father," even while he was doing that, they were making fun and mocking and laughing. They were jeering. Even while he was pronouncing forgiveness for all that hurt him, they were just laughing, having a party. Nobody said, "I was wrong." Nobody said, "This is a mistake. We're such fools." Nobody said any of that. Yet he said, "Father, forgive them." Aren't you glad this morning that you've been forgiven? Aren't you glad that he went to the ends of the earth and even the cruel death on the cross so that you could be forgiven? Then why are we not forgiven? You've been forgiven. This is what we must say when people hurt us. They hurt us deliberately, repeatedly. Say it to people who intentionally attack us. Say it to those who casually and thoughtlessly wound us. We must say it to those closest to us. Our parents, our friends, our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters. Because you've been forgiven, you ought to grant forgiveness to others. You've been forgiven much, you ought to forgive much. I was saved May the 4th, 1986. My dad was an alcoholic. I never went to church except what my grandfather took me. And so many, many weekends were just nothing more than big parties, beer parties, and just gambling and parties. And so I was an only child. We lived in an apartment, probably three rooms, not three bedrooms. And I remember growing up just kind of resentful of the situation I was born into. Mom and Dad, I never knew my mom to go to church nor my dad. And so my grandfather would take me when I was seven, I think, eight, nine, in those years. And then for whatever reason, my dad and my grandfather had a problem. My grandfather was saved. And my dad was helping this other gentleman do some kind of business venture. And my grandfather felt slighted by it. And so they had a problem. So my dad and my grandfather didn't speak for 3 years. And actually, we were not allowed to even drive by his house for fear we may see him outside. So they had a problem, 3 years. I remember. My grandfather's my hero, and he took me to church, loved me, taught me how to be a man. And to then disconnect for 3 solid years, the worst 3 years of my life, really. It's terrible. And he'd try to slip me pocket knives, you know, my cousins would go to some vendor place. He used to sell stuff, and he'd send me pocket knives through them, I'd always treasure those, still having to this day. Well, so that was 3 solid years. Then on October 31st, the anniversary of this letter was yesterday. I have a letter right here that my grandfather wrote to my dad. So 3 years to the day yesterday, October 31st, 1985, here's the letter. "Bobby, this is from Dad." Bobby's my dad's name. "I hope you'll read this letter. I'm sorry for the way I talked to you and for hanging up the phone. I know you were right, and I want you to forgive me. I was at the doctor 2 times last week, and I'm going back today. I know I don't have much longer, and I don't want to die knowing you're still mad at me. I love you very much, even if you don't think I do. Nobody can take away the way I feel about you. Love, Dad. P.S. Come see me soon." That was October 31st, 1985. I got saved May the 4th, 1986. I'd started going back to church with my grandfather. I heard the gospel preached, got saved. My alcoholic father got saved 3 years after me. And God called me to preach. Met my wife in Bible college. and have been serving in ministry now for over 30 years. Do you know what would have never happened? Possibly. I don't even know if I'd be saved today if he hadn't wrote that letter. Now notice, he had quadruple bypass. He thinks he's dying right then. Did you sense that? That was October 31st, 1985. Do you want to know when he died? He died November of 2010. That's 25 years later. I can't help but believe my grandfather lived an extended period of time because he was willing to forgive. And think about folks who've been helped, and I'm nothing, I promise you that, but just folks that have been saved and lives that have been changed, and all he opened the floodgate of blessing on his family by being willing to say, I'm sorry. And some of you are so prideful, so arrogant, that you won't say it. You won't say that. He did. Now he did with, we all deal with those things, don't we? He said, I'm sorry. And God saved me. God saved my dad. God called me to preach. Now, I want to say to you, who in here is holding the key? You're holding the key to God's blessings in your family. How many years beyond you could you open the key to God doing something great? But because you won't forgive somebody, because you still harbor that in your heart, you say, Pastor, I'll never forget what they done to me. I deal with people all the time that have been hurt awfully bad. And it hurts me to see them hurt. But I want to tell you, the real loser is a person who is not able to forgive. How many of you want the blessing of God on your life? You wouldn't be here if you didn't. You wouldn't be here. I mean, that act, that moment of forgiveness unleashed God's blessing. I don't believe I would have gotten saved. I don't believe my dad would have gotten saved had he not done that. And I want to say to you, no matter what's happened, Father, forgive them. That's our command. Have you been forgiven? Are you forgiving? And while you're thinking about that, think, man, how much have I been forgiven? We've been forgiven a whole lot. We owe a great debt. We'll never be able to repay. Pastor, what do? Forgive. You've been hurt? Forgive. You've been betrayed? Forgive. People's treated you wrong? Forgive. No matter the situation and the circumstances, forgive. And you know who'll be free? Not the offender. You. You can walk away free today. And you don't know what you unlock for your family. You're praying about a family. You're praying about a wife or a husband right now, and you won't forgive. Do you know you're going to carry that unforgiveness in a marriage relationship that's going to haunt you the whole relationship? There are things that's being harbored right now that's going to follow you if we don't deal with them. So I encourage you this morning, do what Jesus did. Forgive. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy. I pray you'll bless now the remainder of our time together in Jesus' name.